Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke, chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 19 and read through the remainder of the chapter. Did I say 6? Okay, my tongue stopped before it should have. 16. Luke, chapter 16. Beginning in verse 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to speak this morning on the other side of the grave. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you again this morning for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Take your truth deep into every heart. This is a serious matter. So many folks do not realize how serious it is. Every time the Word of God is opened up and there are people in the auditorium, some of whom may be lost, that they're a heartbeat away from hell. That's it. Hell, as you describe it, the Word of God. So today, I pray you'd take that truth, drive it home to hearts. For that one nearest hell, I pray you'd convict and convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Turn their heart to you, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you do in their lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, a lot of craziness going on in this world, isn't there? A lot of craziness. And how in the world could you possibly know what to believe when we've got the internet today with unlimited information? Absolutely amazing. And everybody has their own opinion as to what's going on. Now, one of the things that we know, approximately two people die every second of the world. Now, you can figure that out by the day, by the week, by the month, by the year, but that's a lot of people dying all the time. Death is something that we know we all have to face, and we're all hoping to put it off as long as possible. Some people simply die by something as simple as a brain aneurysm. Some people die of a heart attack. Some people die of a stroke. Some people die in accidents, and not just car accidents. As a matter of fact, there are probably more accidents take place in the home that kill people than any place else. But people die all the time. There's a lot of course, uproar about guns and things like that. And because guns have had a part in killing people, well, you start using that kind of reasoning, and there's an awful lot of everyday life you're going to have to rule out, like getting in your car. Anyway, that's another one. But I don't care what you do. I don't care how safe you make it for yourself. Go to the doctor every week. Get all the medications that are supposed to be a help that'll probably kill you faster right there. We often joke about that which we fear. And the seriousness of death has been covered by humor for years. In Washington, D.C., From the Undertaker closes all his correspondence with, "Eventually yours." And that's true. But the world views death in a number of different ways. For instance, atheism and communism says that once you're dead, you're done for. There's no existence after death. That's just it. And then there is a return trip for those in Hinduism, and some Buddhists believe that at death the soul enters a new body for a return trip. And that process is called reincarnation. And by the way, as far as the Hindus are concerned, that body does not necessarily mean a human body. If they were not good in their human body on the last trip, they might come back as an insect, or they might come back as a dog or a pig or something like that. Everybody and everything is eventually one of your ancestors. And then universalism and modernism says everybody will be okay. Everybody will go to heaven, whatever that is. And then Jehovah's Witnesses and the Christadelphians say some will be okay, others will be annihilated with no consciousness as if they were permanently asleep. And then there's Mormonism, who would tell you that for those who don't make it to the highest heaven, by the way, Mormonism believes in three heavens. And then there are the sons of perdition that'll burn for eternity. But the reality is that no matter who you are, you can make it to one of the three heavens. Even if you missed out while you were on this earth, one of the reasons why they have the genealogical department that they have is so that they as a church can baptize what they say for the dead, to get some people out of that place called hell and to get them to at least the lowest heaven. And that's their belief about what happens after death. And then Roman Catholicism says there'll be some sort of semi-hell after death called purgatory, where when your sins are finally burned out of you, then you get to go to heaven. And then there are Muslims who believe that death is the end of physical life on earth, but the soul lives on. The soul goes to the angel of death to wait for judgment day. And then on judgment day, their actions during their time on earth will be judged to determine whether they go to Jannah, paradise, or Jahannam, hell, one of the two. You say, well, preacher, what about the Bible? Well, the Bible clearly teaches that when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches about death. The mysteries of death and life after death have caused many thinkers and philosophers who do not wish to accept what the Bible says to come up with all kinds of different ideas. Hollywood has as many different ideas about what happens after death as they do screenwriters. They've all got different ideas about after death. Now you say, well, what's the difference between one or the other? Well, there is one idea that is true, and there are all the other ideas that are false. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. Now, I would take my word from somebody who knows about life after death. I mean, after all, I've been to Uganda. That was back in the 1990s. I've been to Uganda twice. I could tell you a little bit about Uganda because I've been there. If I hadn't been there, I'd only be able to tell you about Uganda from what I read in the book, not knowing whether or not they wrote the truth about it, which means I don't know that what I would have to say would be true. But I got news for you. There is one who died and rose from the dead. And he knows all about death. And he had an awful lot to say about death, I believe. I would take his word on what it's like after death. Now, we live in the great state of Alabama, praise the Lord. I'm from the state of Michigan. I didn't say the great state of Michigan. I said, no, forget. A lot of great people in Michigan. A lot of great people from Michigan. Michigan is a great place to be from, you know what I mean? Amen. I've lived in Alabama now for almost 30 years. So I know a lot about Alabama. I've traveled all over the state of Alabama a number of times, especially when I was president of the Alabama Christian Education Association. But I've preached in a number of different towns in Alabama. I can tell people about Alabama. You know, there are a lot of people up north that have a totally false view of Alabama. They have absolutely no idea what Alabama is like. All they know is what some of that junk stuff that Hollywood's put out about Alabama. That's what they think Alabama is, which means they don't really have a clue. Again, if you want to find out about a particular place, good to find out from somebody who has actually been there. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He is the one who was dead and is alive forevermore. Revelation 1:17. His word is good enough for me. What about the other side of the grave? Because here's the reality. We all have to face it. We're all going to be one day on the other side of the grave. Now, you may ask why, and the answer is something that most people really don't want to hear. And they don't want to believe. The reason you're going to have to die is sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. Well, since we've all sinned, we've all earned exactly the same wages, and that is death. That's reality. It's the way it is. It's why we know that we have to face death one day, and what is on the other side of the grave. Now, in the Bible, I believe we have the truth of the Word of God. There's nobody in the Bible, and you've heard me say this many times. There's nobody in the Bible that spake as much about hell as did Jesus Christ. In this passage, it's one of the most graphic presentations that the Lord Jesus made about hell. Now, He begins speaking in verse 1 when it says of Jesus, and He said unto His disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. So at the beginning of chapter 16, we have a statement that the Lord Jesus was talking. By the way, this was something that had been going on through chapter 15 when He talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And so from that point on, we see Jesus teaching. We get to chapter 19, and He teaches about a rich man and a poor man who died. Now, there's a difference in what He says here and what He says in the beginning of chapter 16. For instance, number one, He never calls this story a parable. There are a lot of people who think that if you can convince yourself that this story is a parable, that it takes away all the authority of it. I got news for you. When Jesus taught in parables, He taught the truth. Now, He called them parables. He didn't call this one a parable. I dare you to find one parable spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ where He named any of the people in the parable. You see, this is not called a parable, number one. Jesus does not call it a parable. And there is a man in this story that is named. And notice how Jesus begins it. There was a certain rich man. And then He says in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. These people were real people. A rich man. Now, the rich man obviously was one of many rich men. He's not the only rich men that had been alive in the world. He's not the only one that was ever really rich. There was a certain rich man. He was certain to him. You may know somebody who's pretty rich, but they're not the only rich people in the world. But they're a certain rich man to you because you happen to know them. And then there was a certain beggar. My, there are beggars all over the world. You can go in country after country and see people laying along the street begging for their food, trying to get some money to get something to eat, and so on. But Jesus is not talking so much about poverty in this passage. He's trying to give us a lesson about life after death. This is Jesus. Now, by the way, either He's a liar or He's a truth teller. One of the two. Either He is right or He is wrong. Do you realize if He is right, the warnings here are extremely solemn and we need to get them. If he is wrong, we don't need to worry about it. But you don't get to determine whether or not he's right or wrong. He is either right or wrong. And if he is the Son of God who he claimed to be, he is definitely right. I know people who say that they don't believe the Bible. They just believe the words of Jesus. Well, if you do, you've got to believe in heaven and hell. And there are a number of things we learn. Now, this is not the only time Jesus talked about hell. He talked about it in a number of places, like Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 42 and on through verse 48. Matthew chapter 25, just giving you a few places. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11, he talked about heaven and hell. But let's go ahead and look at some things. There are people who will say, number one, of the most popular theories, we can know nothing certain about life after death. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus didn't go along speaking just to make people feel good. He said, listen, I can guarantee there are mansions in heaven. I can guarantee that. When he told this story, he either told the truth or he told a lie. And I would say he knows. You say, but I don't know. I've never seen hell. No, I've never seen hell either, but I know one who is the creator of all that is, and he says there's a hell. I know the one who went to the cross of Calvary so we wouldn't have to go there. By the way, if hell's not real, he wasted his time. If hell's not real, he suffered needlessly. Matter of fact, the entire Bible is false if hell's not real. And Jesus would have been the most deluded man that ever walked on the earth. You see, the atheist, the humanist, the evolutionist, and those into false man-made religions do not want to believe the simple truth taught by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible on this matter of hell. It is real. Maybe I may I say that 1971, the fall of the year when I trusted Christ as Savior, the reason I trusted Christ as Savior was, it wasn't that I wanted to go to church. The reason I trusted Christ as Savior was I didn't want to die and go to hell. I found out I was a sinner, as all men are sinners. I found out I was going to die and go to hell because of my sin. This man died, this certain rich man, he died, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. What a horrible thing to do, to wake up lost. You see, you don't want to wait until you die to find out hell's real. That's the wrong time to find out that you were wrong about hell. I mean, you think about it for a second. For these people who don't believe in hell, I mean, if they die and there's no hell, anything like that, what have they lost? Nothing. What have I lost? Nothing. But there is a hell, like Jesus said there is a hell. If I die trusting Christ as Savior, then I've lost nothing. I have heaven for eternity. But they die lost. They go to hell for eternity. They've lost their own soul forever. You see, I wouldn't worry about those who say we know nothing certain about life after death. We do. The Scripture makes it plain. Number two, there are some who say death ends all. But the Bible speaks exactly the opposite. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, I want you to notice that, after this judgment. So when you die, now if people were annihilated at death and that was the end, what judgment could there possibly be? There would be no judgment. But you see, after death, you look at the story that we read, both these people died. They could still talk. Now obviously they were in a different body. Their bodies went into the earth. It's interesting to me. Some people say, well, don't you know that that word for hell simply is talking about the grave? That's a scary thought, to die and wake up in the grave. They woke up in the grave. And yet, they wouldn't have been in the same grave. How could they see one another? How could they? If they weren't in the same grave. And there was quite a distance between them, and evidently, they were buried in the same grave as Abraham. And in the same grave, one's in torment and the other's not. Isn't that interesting? No, people who say that hell is the grave, I'm sorry, they're idiots. They don't have a clue about what they're talking about. I wouldn't give them the time of day. Death doesn't end all. Egyptians put grain and food in the tombs of their dead. Aztec Indians killed guards and even girls and buried them with their chiefs so that they would have some fun in the afterlife. I remember the first time I witnessed to my own dad. And I said to my dad, "Dad, if you died tonight, where do you think you'd go?" He said, "To the grave." And I said, "No, Dad, that's where your body goes, not where you'd go. There's a separation at death. You'd be separated from your body. You're in the body right now, but when you die, that body will go to the grave. But you're going someplace else. And according to what Jesus said, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. One of the two." Well, he wanted to believe that it was just the grave. Well, that may be a simple belief to try to make it through life, but it doesn't take you well through eternity. It puts you in the place of awesome torment. You know, if death ends all, then you might as well get all you can get out of life, because there's nothing left. You might as well fulfill every desire. By the way, that whole belief system will put you into anarchy. And then you die in shame with nothing that you gather together going for you, but going for everybody else. There was a man, by the way, who tried to gather everything for himself in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And as he became an old man, was getting ready to die, he said, "Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." There are some people who say, well, when you die, you just go to sleep. And the rich man died and was buried, and in hell, he lift up his what? Eyes. He's not asleep. Amen. Amen. According to Jesus, he's not asleep. Now, the beggar had died. He's not asleep. Abraham had been dead for a long time. He wasn't asleep. Do you understand that? That when you die, you don't go to sleep. What about when the Bible refers to sleep, when it's talking about some dead people in the Scripture? That simply means that they are not awake to the things going on in this earth. Why? They're dead. Their body's in hell. And by the way, when you die here, you're not concerned about the election in 2020. If you're in hell, there's nobody getting you out of there. If you die and wake up in hell like the rich man, it doesn't matter who gets elected. Not all of them together have the power to get you out of hell. And if you're in heaven, whoo, you don't have to worry about what's coming. Because you'll be with him for eternity. No, sleeping is one thing you won't be doing. This man, the rich man, pardon me, was in hell. Well, there are some people who say, well, there is no such thing as hell. Now, I know that we've got places like Gehenna, Ohio. Matter of fact, I was in Ohio not too long ago. I'm trying to think of the name of the city. It's a strange name for a city. I shared it with you, but now I've done forgot it, and I wish I never brought it back up again. You realize, of course, there is a place called Hell, Michigan. Now, I don't know if it's a nice place or an ugly place. I've never been to Hell, Michigan. What a terrible name for a city. But I got news for you. For everybody that's in a real, literal, honest-to-goodness hell, where they are burning and in torment right now, they'd love to be in Hell, Michigan. Hell, Michigan, I guarantee you, they can get some liquid to drop on their tongue. They get a hold of some drug that would deaden any pain in Hell, Michigan, but not in hell. In Hell, Michigan, they'd be able to go to sleep sometime in the evening. But in hell, there is no sleep. There is only the torment of the damned throughout eternity. And you may say, but preacher, there's some scholars that reject that truth. Well, that proves nothing. Scholars have showed their stupidity over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It was the scholars, all except Noah, who was just a builder, who said there's not going to be a flood. There were scholars, except Abraham, who believed that the fire wouldn't fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. There were scholars who, except Jeremiah and Barak, and that wasn't a president, by the way, believed Jerusalem would be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't believe it would be, but it was. You know, these scholars, I wouldn't take much comfort in the fact that a man's got a piece of paper from a college of people who don't really even know the things he knows. That doctor's degree means absolutely nothing. There's one thing that matters, by the way, and it's this book right here. You say, well, he's a professor with a PhD and a big seminary. Man, you know what that stands for, don't you? With a PhD, just piled higher and deeper, that's all. Doesn't mean he knows any more. Yeah, I've got a doctor's degree. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of them. I've got an honorary one. I've got an earned one. I've got a doctor's degree. And if I take those doctor's degree down to McDonald's, it'll only cost me $1.57 for a large coffee. Amen. And if you don't have a degree, you can get it for the same price. Lester Roloff used to say, you know, a doctor's degree may be nice, but it's kind of like the tail on the end of the pig. It makes the pig look better, but it doesn't add any meat to the pig. I think he was right about that. So forget the so-called scholars. Bunch of scholars. Why does Vanderbilt have a seminary? Would somebody answer that question to me? They know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about God. Such ridiculous stuff comes out of them. You wonder, man, why do they just close that down? They're kidding themselves. There is a heaven that's real and a hell that's real. And boy, you better end up at the right place for eternity. Some would say, well, there's a second chance to be saved after death. Oh, really? Notice what it says in verse 26 of Luke chapter 16. It says, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. When you're there, you're not getting out. And even if somebody in heaven would like to get there and give you a drop of water or help you in any way, they can't. There is a great gulf fixed, and there is no getting out. Some would say, well, there's no recognition or reunion beyond the grave. That's interesting. This rich man recognized Abraham, and Abraham lived several hundred years before this man. He recognized Lazarus. That's interesting. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, Jesus knew who they were. Peter knew who they were. James knew who they were. John knew who they were. There were no pictures of Moses and Elijah. There was no photography where anybody would have recognized them any other way than the fact that after death, yes, you know who they are. Who's my family going to know me? Yes, they're going to know you. That's as long as you go to heaven. You'll go to heaven. There is recognition beyond the grave. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, we will know as we are known. Won't that be wonderful? Well, let me give you a seventh thing. Unbelievers would believe if they saw signs and wonders. That's what they think. I don't know why people think that. You remember that there were several groups that tried to find the ark, Noah's ark. And when they were advertising this, there was a film that was put out as one of these groups. I don't remember who they were with, what seminary or school they were with. But they were over at Mount Ararat trying to find some remnant of the ark. And they made this statement. They said, just think what it would do to bring millions of people to Christ if they could find the ark. Well, no, it wouldn't. I'm sorry, it wouldn't happen. In this particular place, notice, it says here in verse 27... the rich man in hell is saying, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would ascend into my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Seeing a dead body come back from the grave. Well, that wouldn't happen today. They just think they were zombies. Which, by the way, doesn't happen. What stupidity, man. Hollywood makes millions off that kinds of stuff. You know that? That's absolutely amazing. A lie, it's false. All it does is scare people and it's nothing true about it. Not a thing in the world true about it. By the way, how do you kill a dead person? How do you kill a dead person? This stuff is nuts. But here the man in hell thinks, well, if you would send Lazarus back, that once they saw Lazarus, evidently they knew who that beggar was that lay outside at the rich man's gate. And when they see Lazarus, then they'll know that this is true. They'll get sad. I don't want my brothers to come to this place of torment. And their only hope is something spectacular happening. Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the Bible. Let them hear what the Bible says. No, they won't hear what the Bible says. Well, if they won't hear what the Bible says, a miracle will not get them to believe. You see, it's this book. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Verse 23, I'm sorry. Being born again of incorruptible seed, God's word. You've got to believe what the word of God says about salvation. It's not the miraculous. He doesn't give signs to get people to get saved. You have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself if you want to go to heaven when you die. Now, beyond the grave, the Bible is real plain about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is very plain about this as well. He says, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. In Revelation 14:11, He says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You must have Christ as Savior. Death is in reality a heartbeat away from every one of us. None of us have guarantee of another day or even another minute. Before this service is over, someone in this auditorium could drop dead with a brain aneurysm or a heart attack or a stroke or any number of things. A blood clot breaking loose that you didn't even know you had. I mentioned this many times. Back when I was pastoring in Manchester, Tennessee, we had a young couple that attended our church. And a sharp looking couple, sharp both of them, just looked like the picture of health. She was 31 years of age. I remember that. Simply because I was her pastor, and what happened was one day she was talking on the phone to a friend and she said, oh, my head, and fell over dead like that. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. What am I going to do? Come to Jesus. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You get that? There's one name by which you can be saved. That's Jesus Christ. No other way. He's it. So, well, preacher, I don't believe that. All right, then all you got is hell coming. That's it. Because the Bible doesn't offer any second way. He's the only way. And He's the only way because as the Son of God, He came to this earth for one reason, to die on that cross to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. Yea, He paid for the sins of the whole world. And then He was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose up from the dead so that you could have eternal life in Him. You see, really, this world is made up of two kinds of people. It's made up of saved people and lost people. That's it. We may be different colors. We may have different heights. We may have different widths. We may have a lot of things different, different cultural things. But I don't care what culture it is the same for everybody. Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, no matter where you're from, no matter what station in life you may have in society, death is coming for you like it's coming for everybody. And the only way you can escape hell is to come to Jesus now while you're alive. One of the last invitations in the Bible is Revelation 22:17. He says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is for you to come today. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you know every individual in this room. You know who by faith has taken Christ as their Savior, put all their trust in Him alone to save them. And you know who's religious and lost. You know who's not even religious and lost. Lord, you know every individual. You know where they're headed right now. And you offer salvation to everyone so they don't have to end up in this place called hell. If they die without Jesus and burn for eternity, it will not be your fault. It will not be your son's fault. It will not be our fault because the message has been preached. We've made it as clear as possible. Hell is real for all who die without Christ. And only if they come to Him now while they're alive can they have the free gift of eternal life. God, I pray that there'd be someone today in this auditorium that would recognize their sinful, lost condition and turn to Jesus and be saved. For I ask it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many can say this morning simply by raising your hand, well, thank God, preacher, if I died right now, there's not a doubt in my mind whatsoever because I have been born again. As the Word of God says, I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Praise God. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of the Lord that you know you're going to heaven when you die? God bless you. Thank you. They put them down. Now listen to me. I didn't ask how many were Baptist. I didn't say Baptists were the only ones going to heaven. As a matter of fact, since the Bible's true, we know that not even all Baptists are going to heaven. For Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They're a member of a Baptist church, but they've not been born again. Then hell is what awaits them unless they turn to Christ. I wonder how many would say simply by raising your hand. Now, listen, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. But how many would say, preacher, I don't know 100% if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up where I could see it and then put it back down? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I just don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Just slip your hand up anywhere in the auditorium. You die without Jesus, not a thing in the world we can do for you. You say, well, you can pray for him. It wouldn't do any good. When you're in hell, once you're there for good. And there's nobody's prayer, no amount of prayer that's going to get you out of it. You're going to make a decision. You have to make it right now. Preacher, please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Are there some Christians today who say, preacher, I have some lost loved ones. I believe what you said about hell. Lord, I believe if I got word today that they died, they'd be in hell. Let me just say, by the way, for Madeline Delhay, they went to northern Indiana not too long ago because they were burdened about her stepfather. They got to talk to him. He took Jesus Christ as Savior. When he died yesterday, he went straight to heaven. A few weeks ago that happened, that's not where he'd ended up. He'd be in hell. Listen, right now is your opportunity. Don't waste it. Preacher, I've got some loved ones. Please pray for them. I want to see them come to Christ. I have a great burden for some of my loved ones. Would you slip your hand up, child of God? Would you do that? All over the auditorium. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this truth. We don't back down from it. We don't apologize for it. Jesus himself taught it. We just believe it. God, there are a number of people here that have loved ones without Jesus. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, deal with people about going to their loved ones again to tell them about Jesus. We pray, Lord, that even right now, sometime today, you might send some dear Christian to them to share the gospel with them again. Bring them under conviction again, I pray. Lord, for any that are lost that are here today, God, please, may the fear of God settle in on their heart and they turn to Jesus. For I ask it in His precious name. Amen.